So far in our episode dealing with the stark difference between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism, we discussed a whole host of issues. So if you haven't seen our previous episodes, you need to. Otherwise, you will fall into the great fallacy of our modern age that anti-Semitism equates to anti-Zionism. In this episode, we finalize the remaining stances of the anti-Zionist movement and bring you the conclusion to breaking the modern world's greatest fallacy, anti-Zionism equates to anti-Semitism. Opposing the prejudiced ethnocentric racism against the Muslim and Christian Palestinians who are themselves a Semitic people. As Presbyterian Palestinian American academic Fayez Sayer writes, "Nowhere in Asia or Africa, not even in South Africa or Rhodesia, has European race supremacism expressed itself in so passionate a zeal for thoroughgoing racial exclusiveness and for the physical expulsion of native populations across the frontiers of the settler state as it has in Palestine under the compulsion of Zionist doctrines." And he further states, "The Zionist ideal of racial self-segregation demands, with equal imperativeness, the departure of all Jews from the lands of their exile and the eviction of all non-Jews from the land of Jewish destination, namely Palestine. Both are essential conditions of Zionist fulfillment." And finally, as Israeli philologist, professor of language and education at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem, translator and human rights activist Nurit Peled El-Hanan writes in her book, which was a major study of 17 Israeli school textbooks on history, geography, and civic studies, where she concludes, "When they even mention Palestinians at all, Israel's official school books teach a racist discourse, which quite literally wipes Palestine off the map. Maps in the school books only ever show the land of Israel from the river to the sea." She explains that not a single one of the textbooks included any positive cultural or social aspect of Palestinian life world. "Neither literature nor poetry, neither history nor agriculture, neither art nor architecture, neither customs nor traditions are ever mentioned. Of the rare times that Palestinians are mentioned, it is in an overwhelmingly negative and stereotypical fashion. All the books represent Palestinians in racist icons or demeaning classificatory images such as terrorists, refugees, and primitive farmers, the three problems they constitute for Israel." Fighting the misuse of the Jewish religion and the persecution of the Jewish people as an excuse for greedy, illegitimate geopolitical motivations and to continuously conduct war crimes against the Palestinians. As Rabbi Yisrael Feldman says, "But you should know that Zionism is a greater tragedy for Jews than for the Palestinians. For the Palestinians, Zionism and its state took their land and their bodies. But from the Jews, the Zionists and its state took their souls, their belief in God, and in fact they have transformed the whole concept of Judaism." And he further states, "We point a finger at Zionism and its state as the core reason for the colossal tragedy that has been perpetrated in the Holy Land against Arab and Jew alike, from the inception of Zionism until today." Furthermore, critics such as Stephen Cohen, Brian Klug, and Todd Gitlin see no correlation between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism. While critics such as Norman Finkelstein, Tariq Ali, Noam Chomsky, and Stephen Salaita all challenge the equation of anti-Zionism to anti-Semitism as a tactic to silence criticism of Zionist Israeli policies, as can be seen in Norman Finkelstein's statement, "Every time Israel comes under international pressure, as it did recently because of the war crimes committed in Lebanon, it steps up the claim of anti-Semitism, and all of Israel's critics are anti-Semitic." All in all, the anti-Zionist position includes disagreeing with the policies of a rogue nation that doesn't adhere to established UN resolutions, disagreeing with the Zionist entity's treatment of Palestinian civilians and the hundreds of thousands of lives lost in the name of political and religious Zionism through genocide and wars, opposing the unending oppression, injustice, and corruption at the hands of the Zionists, opposing the Zionist ethnic cleansing of an ancient indigenous population, disagreeing with the illegitimate Zionist state's unbending drive towards illegal territorial expansion and the necessary structural and physical violence it has to employ to achieve its goals, standing up to the stealing and usurping of a people's land, property, wealth, and right to self-determination and the desolation of an entire people, opposing the existence of an illegal settler colonialism misadventure, opposing an apartheid racial state, opposing the prejudiced ethnocentric racism against the Muslim and Christian Palestinians who are themselves a Semitic people, and fighting the misuse of the Jewish religion and the persecution of the Jewish people as an excuse for greedy, illegitimate geopolitical motivations and to continuously conduct war crimes against the Palestinians. Finally, the fallacy of equating anti-Semitism to anti-Zionism can be laid to rest by an open letter from 35 prominent Israelis, including Jewish history scholars and Israel Prize laureates. Interestingly, this letter was released in the context of an international gathering in Vienna on anti-Semitism. The letter warned that conflating criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism could afford Israel immunity against criticism for grave and widespread violations of human rights and international law, as is the case the world is witnessing to this day. The letter continues, Zionism, like all other modern Jewish movements in the 20th century, was harshly opposed by many Jews as well as by non-Jews who were not anti-Semitic. And finally, the letter says many victims of the Holocaust opposed Zionism. On the other hand, many anti-Semites supported Zionism. It is nonsensical and inappropriate to identify anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. And as Palestinian-American Christian intellectual Edward Said eloquently writes along the same lines in his book, Zionism from the Standpoint of Its Victims, to write critically about Zionism in Palestine has therefore never meant, and does not mean now, being anti-Semitic. And so at the end of this episode, we agree with a statement by Rabbi Aharon Cohen, the rabbi of Manchester, England, when he says, "It is abundantly clear that opposition to Zionism and its crimes does not imply hatred of Jews or anti-Semitism." The enemies of truth and justice, the enemies of humanity, the enemies of Islam, have tried their very best to equate anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism. But over back-to-back episodes, we showed you Jewish people and organizations from all across the world and throughout history who were opposed to Zionism right from its shadowy and mysterious origins. And in this episode, we slammed one more nail into the Zionist monster's coffin by successfully burying the great fallacy that anti-Zionism equates to anti-Semitism. Now you know that anti-Zionism and anti-Semitism are two totally different things. But we're not done yet because we got a few more nails left before the season ends. After we're done, the Zionist monster isn't coming back to life. So now you know it's the evil neo-imperialist Zionist alliance and their cohorts who are committing the heights of oppression upon humanity. But what exactly have they done? In the next episode, we answer this question by showing you what the Zionist regime of Israel has been doing for the last 72 odd years since its illegitimate and fraudulent inception in one of our last episodes of the season, Palestine, the world's largest prison.